You're listening to the Gate of Trust podcast. Join hosts Matt Trush and Felix Friedberg's heart-to-heart conversations with artists, entrepreneurs, scholars, and laymen who, by strengthening their trust in God despite all odds, experience outright miracles. Trusting in God can literally save lives. And now, Gate of Trust podcast hosts Matt and Felix.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Felix.
And this is the Gate of Trust podcast.
Hey, Matt, I got a good one for you this week.
Let me hear.
All right, so Reb Mendel had a parrot, and the parrot, you know, liked to do a lot of talking, most specifically when he didn't want him to be talking, when he was talking with people from his shul, or he was talking to his wife, or he was talking to his children. The parrot would talk and talk and talk. When he was quiet, the parrot was quiet. When he was talking, the parrot was talking and always interrupting him. So he thought he would teach the parrot a lesson. He said, if you keep talking, I am going to put you in the freezer. So a couple minutes go by, he's talking, parrot can't stop, takes the parrot, he puts him in the freezer for like a couple of minutes, he opens the freezer, he brings him out, the parrot is shaking, and he goes, well, what do you think, can you keep it together, can you stay quiet? And the parrot says, I only have one question, what did the turkey say?
That's a good one, very nice.
Got to keep it together unless we don't want to end up like turkeys.
By the way, Felix, how was your trip to L.A.?
I mean, Beverly Hills, I mean, it's not as nice as where we live, but it's pretty close. It's, you know, it's adequate. Beautiful community. Spent Shabbos with Rabbi Schusterman and his community there and really got a lot of chizuk. He talked about getting rid of our slave mentality, what we get from the Parsha, and that when we don't have Jewish pride, when we don't want to do certain things, we make excuses that we're using that slave mentality. And this parsha is a reminder that we need to be proud Jews and free ourselves of ideas or constraints that keep us from achieving what we can achieve with our lives in every aspect. Very empowering message.
Amen. Speaking of breaking out of our limitations, today we're going to learn how to grow a real estate business from zero to $500 million in just 4 years. You bet it takes bitachon. Trust. Gate of Trust podcast guest, Esti Reitzes Lowenbein, shares how she and her husband pledged to give their entire year's earnings as tzedakah and then doubled their pledge.
I can't wait to hear her story. Here's the inspirational Esti Reitzes Lowenbein.
Today, we're honored to invite Esti Reitzes Lowenbein to join us on the Gate of Trust podcast.
Esti is a serial networker with nearly 33,000 followers on LinkedIn. She has a knack for connecting buyers, sellers, and investors.
Esti went from zero to 500 million in real estate closings in just 4 years. Esti jokes that she raises children and she raises money.
Esti holds a master's degree from Adelphi University in speech pathology, and we're looking forward to hearing more about that as well.
Esti and her husband are extremely active in their community and run a non-for-profit providing relief for underprivileged individuals. Esti Reitzes Lowenbein, welcome again to the Gate of Trust podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Thanks for having me on. Some of those numbers are a little off, but all good.
So which number's off, the 500 million or the 33,000 LinkedIn followers?
Well, the 500 million is a bunch of numbers combined.
We have to admit that we're super impressed. No matter how you slice it, the numbers are big. And from zero to 500 million, no matter how you combine it, is a lot. And when you look at what's going on these last several years, it's impressive. So can you tell us and can you tell our listeners exactly what you do? And we want to know exactly how you do it as well.
I started my career as a practicing speech language pathologist, and I decided to pivot into a different career for many reasons just about 5.5 years ago. I moved from Brooklyn, New York to Rockland County. The speech therapy system was very different over here. I had to travel. And I was just looking for something more, something that would bring me more satisfaction. I just wasn't happy with my status quo, and I felt like I had something more to give. And I'm a massive extrovert. So I figured, what can I do that I would love that I don't have to go back to school for? Real estate, right? Easy. It's a very people's person's field, if that makes sense. And I figured, why not hop in here? Why not see how I do? So I got my realtor's license, which is just a 72-hour course. It's very different than sitting in school for over 6 years. And I started initially transacting as a local realtor in my area as a residential area, in my residential local area. I soon realized that commercial is my place to be. I'm more of a factual person. Seeing beautiful houses and beautiful bathrooms are amazing, but after a while, it's just like, just make a decision. Yes, yes, no, no. Do the numbers work out? Is it a deal? Do you like the location? Do you like the asset? Do you like the numbers? Yes, yes, no, no, move on. So I got involved in commercial real estate. As soon as I committed to learning about real estate, and I knew nothing before, it was like nonstop. I started listening to podcasts, reading books, asking questions, going to every single class I can get my hands on, and I still do. It takes so much. People don't realize it. It takes so much effort, so much energy, so much commitment to keep on going, learning, and doing. I got lucky that my family had a building to sell, my husband's family, so that kind of threw me into the real estate game. And then from that, I started just transacting and transacting together with other brokers in different states. So the number sounds amazing, but it's, if only the profit was that amazing. But, you know, it was a lot of networking and doing and hustling and going, and it still is. Then I had one client that actually asked me to help them find equity, and I was able to find them equity within two phone calls. So I figured, wow, that's really cool. That was kind of effortless. Let me do some more of this. So that's how I got involved in connecting equity. I connect sponsors together, someone that needs the equity, someone that has, and they partner up. I've also started a fund where I help syndicate deals, deals that I'm a co-GP on myself. I syndicated some deals. So that was a big goal of mine, to start a fund. And I successfully completed my first two raises. So that was exciting. Yeah. So therefore, I'm a realtor, investor, and capital connector. In very short, that's what I do.
If this were LinkedIn or Facebook, I'd have a lot of thumbs up right now. That's a great story.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Esty, you're famous in our neighborhood because you're the aunt of Dovey.
I am. And I just got to spend time with him in Paris. So that was exciting.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Mazel tov. That's right. That's right. Dovey told me a few weeks ago, working to Shul, that he was going to Paris. And then we started talking about the airports, and boy, he really gave me, you know, some conversation about going to Paris. So that had to be fun.
The last time I saw him was at his bris. So he doesn't know me. And we were having a conversation, and he's so smart and so cute.
Yeah. He's walking now too. He's walking now. That's what they say. They say within a year, they're walking.
It's really incredible. I mean, you did go to school to become a speech pathologist. You must have had an interest in that and thought that that was your calling. And yet somewhere you turned to this new career path. If you were suited and interested and built to do speech pathology, how much leap of faith or bitachon did it take to get there?
I switched for many reasons, but I think one of the real reasons only came to me way after I switched. And that was, my sixth child was born with speech issues, and he was born with a tracheostomy. He received a tracheostomy and the G-tube because he was born with vocal cord paralysis. So I had studied everything that my son was born with, and I had practiced everything on him. And I think subconsciously, like when I was done dealing with him, I just couldn't continue. I couldn't move on. And I didn't put the two together until after. But I think that was the real reason that I just maybe couldn't continue. It was a very challenging experience. He was in the hospital for 4.5 months. And at the time, I had 5 other children at home. So I thought my life was coming to a total end. And I went through a lot of emotional and struggles. So many struggles on all ends with that story. And I just had to move on and do something that I would be happy with. I guess I was in a very down state, and I had to do something that would make me happy and make me fulfilled. So I figured real estate, you know, is worth the chance. And so I literally jumped in. Like, my husband laughs till today. He's like, I don't know where you fell from. He said, I'd quicker imagine you being on singing on some stage in Vegas than in commercial real estate. So it landed here. We have no idea how it landed. It's not like I had any mentor or anyone that inspired me to get into it. It was totally self-made, if you can say that. So much trust in Hashem, and I learned so many lessons from that story. After all that I went through, I think that I was able to do what I'm doing now because of what I went through with my son. I don't think I could have I could do what I'm doing now. When he was in the hospital, I had to really like stand up for him and use my voice and become like that advocate for my son. And I was always like this shy person before. This really helped me get out there and be bold and courageous. So everything happens for a reason. And at the end of the day, it's all Hashem, in every step of our lives.
Incredible. What a story.
So going back, you know, a lot of people, when you spend a lot of time earning a degree and going into a profession and then changing professions, it can create a lot of worry. So you must have at certain times you were learning and you were doing different things. You must have certain times, maybe had days. And I'm in sales myself. I'm a recruiter. So I know some days are good and some days are bad. But talk about like when maybe it wasn't going so well and maybe people weren't calling you back. Like, what was your thought process? Did you ever think like, did I make a mistake or something like that? Or were you confident the whole time? Like, it's one thing for people to say, I could make a change. It's another thing to actually get through it successfully.
Yeah, I think I was in a good position that I was able to make that change. Like, thank God my husband was on board and it worked for my family to make the change. But people don't realize how hard it is. You know, people often look at me and they're like, wow, what you're doing is so glamorous. I want to do what you're doing. And I might be guilty of making it look glamorous, I admit, because I don't share all the negative experiences and all the hopeless times and all the garbage I go through. I don't share all that. So people don't necessarily see the whole picture. But I'm thinking maybe I should start sharing all the all the garbage that goes on with this. It is so hard. People don't realize. Talk about things that don't work out. I've worked on things for hours and hours and hours and they just fall apart. And that's something that happens in real estate, whether one is a broker, whether one's a buyer, whether one's a capital connector, whether one's, you know, a manager. There's so many more things that can go wrong than that can go right. So I always say in this business, you really have to love what you're doing, number one, because if you don't love what you're doing and you're just spinning wheels at times, sometimes it just feels like I'm spinning wheels. You can get so burnt out that you can't continue. So initially when I got involved, I would get very upset. Like I worked on something for months and the last minute the buyer didn't come through. And I was so down and so upset that I realized that if I don't stop, brush myself off and pick myself up, I'm going to be sulking half my life. So I made like the 5-minute rule. I can be upset about it for 5 minutes and then you got to get up and go, because at the end of the day, if something works out for you, it's meant to be yours. If it doesn't work out for you, God didn't intend for that to go through you. So at the end of the day, everything is from Hashem. Everything is from God. And only things that are going to work out are things that are meant to work out for you. So sometimes you have to go through a lot of appeals in order to get something to work out. We don't know God's ways, right? Not everything is snappy and quick. Sometimes it's really, really tough. And most of the time, it's just really tough, especially lately. The last 7 months have been quite difficult in the commercial real estate business. I'm sure everyone's singing the same song. As soon as the rates went up, the prices are still too high to transact. So there's little movement in the market and the investors are scared. So there's little equity being placed and the banks are scared. So deals aren't closing. The banks also lowered their LTVs. So more equity is needed, but the equity providers aren't coming through. So it's basically a huge mess. But everything's meant to be, and God has his ways of providing, and we got to hope and believe.
So my interpretation of what you just explained is tracht gut wird sein gut, right? So no matter what happens, if we stop working or stop doing what has worked for us, it's impossible for there to be success. But if we continue, everything's possible. It looks like that's what you're doing. And God willing, you will continue to have success. But thank you for sharing that.
I always say you have to make yourself a vessel for work, right? You can't sit back and expect God to shower you with money. You have to actually go out and work. You can't just sit back and relax. But you have to have that balance of work and belief. Like, there's a very fine balance there. Like, you know, where does one stop? Where does one end? But it's, you have to have both in order to move on.
It also shows you that some deals come through, some deals fall through. Sometimes things might just fall in your lap. And sometimes things, no matter how hard you work, it just not meant to close.
100%.
You know, it was our guest from episode 17, Yona Weiss, the cost segregation king from Madison Capital, who told us that we should give you a call because you have a Gate of Trust story. How did you first come in contact with the Gate of Trust book? Tell us your Gate of Trust story.
So I think my whole life is one Gate of Trust story. Yona lives in Israel, and we were meeting at the Ironman in Atlanta, and he had asked me to bring a book. I live near Muncie, New York. He had asked me to bring two books for him from Muncie to Atlanta because he was coming directly from Israel. So I said, sure, no problem. You know, he's a family friend of ours now. I said, sure, for sure, no problem. He's done so much for me in the business. He introduced me to so many people, and anything I could do back is, you know, I'm happy to. So I took two books for him, and I opened the box of the books because I was just going to take the two books, and I see it's the Gate of Trust book. So when I reached Atlanta, I handed him the books. I said, oh, I was so tempted to open them and start reading them. I had gone to Israel myself straight from Atlanta. And then when I returned home from Israel, visiting my grandparents, I had two Gate of Trust books sitting by my door from Yona Weiss. So that was really, really incredible. And it was just so nice of him. And I started learning the books myself, my husband and I. So thanks to Yona's credit.
So Esti, how long have y'all been learning together, and how is it going?
So we started learning when, you know, once we received the books, which was, I think, last May, June, here and there, little snippets. It's going good. Obviously, it's easier to read it than to internalize it. It takes a lot more to internalize something you read, but it's definitely a life-changing book experience. There's now community shiurim classes on the book. There are lots of podcasts around the book. My husband gives a shiur on Amunah, on Tzedakah, on all of it based on the Tanya. So it's done well for us. My husband's a huge advocate for Tzedakah, for charity. You know, he's always into charity giving. Before Rosh Hashanah last year, I watched an Instagram live where David Schottenstein and Beryl Solomon were discussing about pledging a certain amount of Tzedakah before Rosh Hashanah. And I never heard of that concept. My husband had, but I guess we never implemented it. So I decided to sit down and set a number. So we decided to set a crazy number, something that wasn't even like realistic at the time. And you're allowed to test God. You're allowed to test Hashem with tzedakah. You're allowed to say, Hashem, I'm giving X amount. I'm testing you. It's the only thing you're allowed to test Hashem with. So I turned to my husband. I said, if this really works, let's double our initial number that we decided to give. So, you know, so be it. We decided to give this number. We're going to double it. And no matter what it's going to take, we're going to go for it. And it definitely takes a lot of trust. The number we put forward is not a small number. We were able to give 90% of it. And that takes a lot of trust in Hashem. And even this year, we even put a higher number. Right now, the market is not good, but we have real faith, that real bitachon, that we're going to be able to push through. Now is where the real faith and bitachon kicks in, is when times are hard.
If I understand the story right, you took a number and you thought it was a crazy big number. And then you said to your husband, well, as long as we're picking a big number, let's double that number.
Well, I said, if it really works, if you're allowed to test Hashem, if you're allowed to test God, and if that really works, what's the difference what the number is, right? I mean, they recommended in the live to do something realistic, but we're sometimes a little over. So we went with a crazy number. I don't recommend that. Like, usually people have to stay within normal parameters, but we did go above and beyond. And there were so many crazy ripple effect stories from our decision to choose that number. Like, so many people took upon themselves giving more charity. So it was just a beautiful initiative. And I could tell you tons of stories that happened because of that. You know, there's so many people in need. Basically, there are people that come, right? They knock on people's doors and they line up and they request charity. So some days there's just a lot of people at the door. And everyone is suffering. And it's, first of all, it's hard to hear people's stories. It's just heart wrenching. And it's also like, we're still human. We're still limited. We still have a limited capacity. And thank God we have a family. So it just became very difficult. So they started doing inshul after davening that they would make a breakfast for all the poor people that would come, and they'd hand out tzedakah after davening. And what they did also was that a lot of community members who couldn't necessarily afford to constantly give to all the individuals that would come to the shul, they created a fund to help those individuals give out as well, so they don't stop coming to shul. They don't feel like they're inadequate, or, you know, they shouldn't stay home. So they're collecting money to give, and they're also giving at the same time. And that was just so beautiful. So many people were inspired and are still inspired and come see the situation and come contribute to this initiative that started. People have been coming from all over, both to receive and to participate in this beautiful initiative. So that's just one thing. There's so many, but more like people that actually need more than organizations, because unfortunately, so many people in need. We wish we can help everyone. That's the goal. Like, you ask my husband, what do you do? He's like, I give charity. Everything else is just a means to get there. He has a huge heart. God has to give him because he gives.
It says in the Gate of Trust that Shem makes us the fiduciaries, the trusted agents to give to others. And when we fulfill that responsibility, he gives us more to give. So maybe one of the reasons that you and your husband have been so blessed is because you've been so generous, and you continue to be so generous. And I'm sure that's an inspiration to others as well.
Now we could use some blessings.
And this year, did you double it again, or you just went for a number even bigger than your number last year?
We did not double our last year's number, but it's definitely bigger. Last year, we reached 90%, so we calculated the difference into our number. We still owe that. Well, we gave a lot, and now we're still waiting to receive it in return. That's where the faith comes in, because it, not necessarily is it always like a number thing, right? Sometimes God will give you back in health, I don't know, in happiness. I don't know what it is, right? We're hoping. So we're still waiting. We have faith, and it's going to come. Maybe God doesn't give it in January or February. Maybe he'll give it in March. You know, we're holding tight, and we believe that it'll come.
Do you think you have to give the money in advance, or you just pledge a big number in advance and then you give it as it comes to the coming year?
I'm not sure the exact way of doing it. I'm not sure, you know, there is an exact formula, but it's just the idea of giving to someone that doesn't have what you have, being kind, being open, giving to the less fortunate.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think that just people hearing your story, you know, it's challenging, you know, taking on these commitments. The Rebbe tells us, there's a big difference between what we hear and what we do. So thought, deed, and action. It's the action where it counts. Now, Esti, thank you so much for joining the Gate of Trust podcast. You and your husband are true inspirations. I think, you know, if everybody in every community had a couple like you that were inspired and inspired others, raised money and gave money like that, a lot more people would be helped from it. So as people listen to this, and as we share this information, and maybe if there's a link to that fund, we could share that as well. That might be something else that could come from this. You and your husband are true inspirations, and not just for how you live with trust, but how you're dependable fiduciaries for Hashem when he gives you a surplus by giving tzedakah so generously. I like what you said. Your husband says, I give tzedakah. There's the story of the poorest giver in Russia. He was arrested because they thought he had a lot of money, and really he didn't. All the money that they thought he had given to tzedakah. We should all have people point the fingers at us that we're so wealthy, but really that the wealth was given away. So beautiful.
All from Hashem, and it's all his. So we're just, like you said, God, he appoints us to take care of it.
We're Hashem's trusted fund managers.
Exactly.
We need to give him a good ROI. Esti writes this, Lo and Bein, thank you so much for joining the Gate of Trust podcast.
Thanks a bunch for having me.
Wow, Felix. Esti and her husband decided to pledge a huge number to tzedakah, a number that was the equivalent of their entire prior year's earnings. Then they said, as long as we're testing God, who's unlimited, let's double our pledge.
I think it's amazing, and we were talking before the podcast. I had spent Shabbos in the Beverly Hills Chabad Center with Rabbi Schusterman. He spoke about the parsha this last week, Vayera, of getting out of our slave mentality, getting out of our personal Mitzrayim. And so it's a reminder to us that we are sometimes tied into our jobs and we're tied into our money. And she both changed jobs, learned a new profession, figured out a way to study, and as she shared, struggle through becoming successful enough for them to achieve this goal. It's very inspirational. It should be an inspiration for a lot of people to say, You know, if this thing that I'm doing, if this thing amount that I'm giving is I'm not happy with it, then change it. Then simply change it. But how do you change it? Stop thinking about yourself. Think about Hashem. Think about trusting Hashem more and getting more from it. So really a great message, and really appreciate her coming, her attitude, and her example. She and her husband's example.
Beautiful. Felix, I think you said it really well. The Gate of Trust teaches us, as long as we're depending upon ourselves or limited vision or limited earning power or whatever it might be, it's always limited. And we're stuck in finite constraints, in that slave mentality, as you called it, right? But right. Once we give our trust to Hashem, who is unlimited, then there's the possibility of going way beyond, going big in everything that we're aiming for to do good in this world. I definitely think that the Gate of Trust is the mindset that you need, or that we all need, that helps us think beyond our own concept of big and go big God's way, really big.
Well, great job, Matisyahu, and Shavua Tov, and can't wait for this podcast to drop and to see the viral response.
I tell you, Felix, I'm so inspired to get rid of my limitations and habits. I think I'm going to go cold turkey.
Thank you for listening to the Gate of Trust podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, leave a rating, and share the podcast with the people you love. To access today's show notes, ask Matt and Felix a question, or suggest the Gate of Trust story to be featured on the show, visit gateoftrust.org/podcast. Living it up, living your dreams, but when it all goes busted the seams, then you're screaming.